This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا صدق الله العظيم. So we continue exploring verse 19 out of the 110 verses of the 18th chapter of the Quran. And we're currently in the discussion that the youth have taken shelter and amnesty in the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved their bodies in different ways that an onlooker would assume them to be awake. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاضًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ You would assume, consider that they are awake while they were in sound sleep. إشارة إلى أنهم مع الخلق بأبدانهم ومع الحق بأرواحهم. Wow, this was so amazing. Again in Bayan al-Quran. إشارة إلى أنهم مع الخلق بأبدانهم. It releases a hint that their external bodies were with the creation while their internal selves, their souls were with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often you find a child in class physically present but mentally absent. His mind strays, his thoughts stray. He's there in physical as a person. You can identify him, but the thoughts are wandering and straying elsewhere. إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ مَعَ الْخَلْقِ بِأَبْدَانِهِمْ Externally, apparently, outwardly, with their bodies, yes, you could touch, you could feel they were on earth. وَمَعَ الْحَقِّ بِأَرْوَاحِهِمْ But the souls were elsewhere. And we also labored the point on, how when they got up, and that is what we were in the process of discussing, and the episode, we had concluded it, is when they, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived them from their sleep, and the discussion came about with regards to the duration, then istaqallu ayyam al-wisali, wahakadha sha'nu ushaq al-jamali. I mean, these words, they just consume me, that how they trivialize their stay, because these were moments in the obedience of Allah. So the richness of these moments were very different to them. وَيُقَالْ And it is often said, مَقَامُ الْمُحِبِّ مَعَ الْحَبِيبِ وَإِنْ طَالَ قَصِيرٌ وَزَمَانُ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ وَإِنْ كَثُرَ يَسِيرٌ إِذْ لَا يُقْضَى مِنَ الْحَبِيبِ وَطْرٌ وَإِنْ فَنِيَ الدَّهْرُ وَمَرَّ That the time spent with the beloved, even if it's long, to the lover it is short. And the meetings, as often as repeated as they are, it appears to be very brief and concise, even if years and decades and centuries have to lapse. وَلَا يَكَادُ يَعُدُّ الْمُحِبُّ الْلَيَالِي إِذَا كَانَ قَرِيرُ الْعَيْنِ بِالْوِصَالِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ And you cannot expect or ask or impose on the lover to monitor the time when the very comfort of his eyes is in spending time with his beloved. Of course, we do not attach a physical proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what we are implying here is the closeness, manzilatan la manzila. And that's what Allama Nasifi has made mention under the verse, inna alladhina inda rabbihi la yastakbiruna an ibadatihi Those that are by their Lord, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّ By referring to عِنْدَ, by their Lord, he says مَنْزِلَةً in station, in rank, in position, in status, in recognition, and not مَنْزِلَة in location. So they decide that, listen, let's now not go back and forth and prolong this discussion in fixing the time. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ Because Allah knows the exact time. But moving forward, we need to eat, we are hungry. فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَبَعَثُوا send أَحَدَكُمْ one of you. بِوَرِقِكُمْ وَرِقٌ silver coins, which was the currency. هَذِهِ this. So from that we deduce, and this is the deduction of Allama Qurtubi, that although these were pious people, yet they felt the need to keep some money with them. And it is important, it is essential. لولا هذه الدنانير لتمندل بنا هؤلاء لولا هذه الدنانير لتمندل بنا هؤلاء. Was it not the quotation of one of the Salaf al-Salihin? If it was not the wealth that we had, by virtue of which we enjoyed a degree of independence, then these people would have abused us. Mindil in Arabic literally refers to, you know what, tissue or some things you use and then you dispose of, right? Mindil could mean your Kleenex or your tissue, you know, that you would use. So these people would use us and then just dispose of us. So we learn from this that it is not against tawakkul. It is not against tawakkul. And it's important for us to have the correct balance in place. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ كُتِبَ Allah has decreed upon you. عَلَيْكُمْ upon you. إِذَا when حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ when death approaches you. الْوَصِيَّةُ that you must make a bequest. إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا if you've left behind wealth. So the fact that Allah says that you need to bequest, and this was a verse that was first revealed. Subsequently, the injunction was abrogated, or it was put into context with the more detailed verses that were revealed with regards to inheritance in chapter 4, Juz 4 in Surah An-Nisa. And this was a revelation prior to that, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah. So Allah says, إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا if you've left behind wealth. So the scholars say, the fact that Allah is advocating and impressing upon us to have a will and to have a bequest, if you've left behind money, that means in principle, it is permissible to leave behind an estate. It is permissible, hence Allah has regulated it, legislated it, and governed it. So we learn from this that when you're traveling, it is fine to have money. The other thing we learn from here, and this is also mentioned in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, or I came across it in one of the other tafasir, is that they delegated, appointed someone, and they did not ask or beg. So this is also something from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will persevere and endure, and they will not beg. لا يسألون الناس إلحافا لا يسألون الناس إلحافا يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف. That you will find the pious are such that though they experience poverty, penury, difficulty, adversity, a stranger will perceive them to be self-sufficient, independent, and wealthy. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا A stranger will say, no, he's wealthy. مِنَ التَّعَفُّفُ Because of his abstinence. He doesn't ask anyone. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَا They do not persist and ask. Some scholars say, ilhafa doesn't really mean that they ask, but they don't ask persistently, but rather it is to negate the fact that they don't ask at all. La yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa. Ta'rifuhum bisimahum. Yes, you will identify them from their signs. You will see poverty, you will see humility, you will see piety on their external. And under that, in Ahkamul Quran, Imam Abu Bakr Jassas has made mention that in the absence of evidence, then at times you have to base the opinion on the signs and the symbols. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ It's a very academic and detailed discussion. So let's get back into the verse. Verse number 19, Allah has revived them. 309 years had elapsed. There was a bit of a discussion how long. They said, listen, we don't know. Allah knows. Moving forward, take this wealth. So we learn from the few things. فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ We also learn the permissibility of doing partnership. And also appointing one person. take this money and go ila al-Madina, to the city. So al-Madina in Arabic would refer to a populated, a developed, a well-established city, which according to al-Qurtubi, the name of that city at that time was Turtus. Turtus, that was the name of that city. Of course, according to them, they still back in the years. They still back in the years, you know. The clock has turned. It's a different century, if not centuries had lapsed. So go to the city, فَلْيَنْظُرْ. Then that person should be careful, watchful, and vigilant. أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. He must be conscious and take special note which out of the food is halal. Halal. So at the time that they took refuge in the cave, at that time idolatry and idol worship was rampant, was dominant, was common, was found amongst the people, and they were slaughtering on the names of their idols. Hence, it was impermissible, unlawful to consume. They, according to their understanding, it's the same era. Idolatry is prevalent. Idol worshippers are around. Polytheists are here, disbelievers. So be very careful. Now, can you imagine? Of course, it's a miracle that Allah kept them alive and healthy. But surely, once they've returned back to this, worldly life, there is hunger. And generally, people who are even conscious of halal, when they are on journey or they are abroad or they are extremely hungry, then the rules somewhat become very relaxed and become very easy, and they drop their guard. And that should not be the case. We need to be particular about the consumption of halal. The famous incident that I often quote, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam under the context of this ayah, or the commentary of this ayah in the 28 Juz in Surah Mujadala. And ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasul faqaddimu bayna yadayna jawakum sadaqah thalika khayrun lakum wa athhar. I came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I asked him few questions. And amongst those questions I asked him, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, مَاذَا أَصْنَعُ لِنَجَاتِ نَفْسِي. What can I do for the salvation of my soul? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلْ حَلَالًا وَقُلْ صِدْقًا. Eat that which is halal and utter that which is true. Subhanallah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah and utter sadeed. What is sadeed? Look at the beauty of the Arabic language. Sadeed means it is truthful, it is correct, it is candid, it is not a distortion, it is not incorrect, it is not a fabrication, it doesn't have a twist. Everything that is accurate and correct, sadeeda, utter that which is correct and true. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu that atib mat'amak, atib mat'amak takun mustajab ad-da'wa. Eat that which is pure, and your prayers and your supplications and your du'as will be readily answered. So go to the city. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Then he should make sure and see which of the food is أَزْكَى, the purest, right? اسم التفضيل, as we would say in Arabic grammar. فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ. Then tell him to bring some food from there. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. And he should be very, very subtle and very, very polite and very, very gentle. And he should be very discreet and camouflage. So وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, some say it means in his interaction with whoever he meets, he should be polite, meaning husnul khuluq, good character, good character with the person with whom he's interacting with. And that's the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahimallahu rajulan samhan idha ba'a wa idha ishtara wa idha qtada. May Allah have mercy on that soul which is polite, which is gentle, which is soft when he purchases or he sells or he demands his due. I mean, demanding your due that is owed to you by its very nature is not an easy interaction. To phone someone up and say, you know what, 30 days have lapsed and your credit is still outstanding. It's not an easy interaction. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prayed for that person who is polite and courteous and cordial even when he demands his due. And I heard something very amazing from one scholar, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, as we know, marks the half of the Quran from one perspective. So at that point, on the note marking the half, the word that is there is softness, gentleness. Is it not giving a strong message about the beauty of Islam, that Islam impresses upon us softness, kindness, gentleness, tenderness? Inna rifqa, verily whenever softness is brought into the equation, it enhances the beauty. And whenever softness is taken out of the equation, then it defects it. That same message, if it's said in a polite way, it has a different approach, the demeanor, the body language, the tone, the expression, the context. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us softness in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in chapter 3, juz 4, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It's through the grace of Allah that you are soft-natured, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And if you had to be stern and harsh, they would have dispersed. And Allah didn't say لَتَرَكُوكَ or لَفَارَقُوكَ. They would have withdrawn from you, or they would have left you. Allah said infidad. Infadda means to dash. They would have abandoned you. They would have, you know what, dashed away. And this is if softness was excluded from the equation. So softness was the catalyst. Imagine us, bereft of knowledge, of wisdom, of intelligence, of maturity, and then we deprived of softness as well. How can we then attract people to the beauty of Islam? يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا بَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا. Did not the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to those companions who he was bidding farewell to, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and his companion, يَسِّرَا, make matters easy. وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا, and don't make matters difficult. Of course there's a context, and of course it needs to be regulated. It is not a blanket, open, unending, you know what, ruling at any matter. Just make it easy. So you're tired, don't perform Fajr Salah. You're tired, so don't perform the ablution. It's been a tough year, so don't give zakat. No. We're not saying that in any way. But yassira wala tu'assira, where things are, you know, an opportunity has been presented. You are on journey. Allah has given concession. Allah has given ease. Take the ease within the framework that the Sharia has legislated and regulated. Accept the legislated concession. Huwajatabakum. Allah has concluding verses of Surah Al-Hajj in the 17th juz of the Quran. Allah has selected you. Wama ja'ala alaykum fid-deeni min haraj. And Allah has not made religion a complex matter for you. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. So be discreet, be soft, be subtle, be polite. You know what, you're going to have to maneuver yourself in a very stealthy manner so that nobody is alerted about you. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. And let nobody become informed about you. Can you imagine, they slept with a worry and they woke up with that worry 3 centuries later. My iman and the protection of my iman and the consumption of halal, that is what overwhelmed them at every time. May Allah give us that concern and that passion at each time. And like I often say, when you're traveling and you know what, you're so concerned about your passport, and I touched on it briefly yesterday, but I didn't, you know, conclude the point. You hold on to your passport, your phone, and your purse, and you realize that if you lose either of this, you're stranded. And it makes me think, how much are we holding on to our faith? How much are we holding on to our values? Of course, iman is not something tangible that put your hand here or put your hand there. But it is a matter of upholding and preserving and honoring those values and those teachings of Islam. And anything that equates or is tantamount to encroachment or infringement or violation on that faith, then we need to realize that that's a red flag. That's a red flag. That's an invasion to my faith. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. We move on to verse number 20. إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَظَهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ. Surely, إِنَّهُمْ إِن if يَظَهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ, if they become aware of your presence, they become conscious and they discover that you are around, then يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they will certainly stone you. رَجَمَ يَرْجُمُ, to stone. Either it is a metaphoric interpretation of killing you, or they would literally stone you. Literally stone you. Either يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, رَجَمَ يَرْجُمُ, رَجْمًا means to stone. So either يَرْجُمُوكُمْ would mean that these people will stone you, and this is how they would deal with anyone who left their faith of polytheism and idolatry. Or يَرْجُمُوكُمْ would mean يَقْتُلُوكُمْ, in some way or the other, they would kill you. أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ, or then they will compel you and return you to their religion, that you have to accept our faith, follow our creed, and accept our own teachings. وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا, and then you will not, in such a situation, in a hypothetical, Allah forbid, then you will not attain salvation and success, after which you will never be successful. Okay, let's unpack this here in terms of the academics of this ayah. So some say his name was Tamliha. Others say his name was Yamliha. If you recall yesterday, my brother and my sister, I told you one name, and I wish I could quiz you now and ask you what was that one name. It was Muksalmina, Muksalmina. And many say he was the Ra'is. He was the leader from amongst the group. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Like I said, it's not the usual names. It's not the common names. And now they've appointed, delegated, assigned one person. And some say his name was يَمْلِيخَ. Some say his name was تَمْلِيخَ. عَلَى اِخْتِلَافِ التَّلَفُّظِ, as the different would pronounce it and whatever the variation is. Anyway, he leaves, he's given this guidance and counsel and advice. Watch yourself, you know what, maneuver yourself very, 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 very gentle, polite, discreet, etc. Don't let them discover your whereabouts, lest they kill you or compel you to go back into their faith. And if they do so, you will not be successful. Now, there's a question here, academically, from a tafsir perspective, from a juristic perspective, is that وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُ, and I hope I can simplify the academics of this year, but the point is so profound that it's irresistible for me not to share it with you. So لَنْ in Arabic comes for emphasis. أَفْلَحَ يُفْلِحُ, إِفْلَاح means to be successful. إِذَن means then. أَبَدَى means never, right? أَبَدَى not at all. أَبَدًا, أَبَدَى, مُسْتَحِيل, no, no, not at all. أَبَدَى, not at all, not at all. So if they return you back to their faith, you will never be successful. Whereas in the 14th juz, chapter 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِمْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. If somebody is put under duress and somebody is threatened, and the person who's threatening has the clout to execute the threat. It mustn't be an empty threat, of course. He comes and says, denounce Allah, deny Allah, utter a statement of kufr, or else I will kill you. Illa bat, man the one, ukriha, akraha, yukrihu, ikra, who is compelled, meaning to utter a word, illa man ukriha bil kufri, that deny Allah, wa qalbuhu, while his heart, مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, is deep and comfortable with faith, then such a person is excused. Yes, وَلَكِمْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا, but the one who openly declares his kufr, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, the verse continues about the wrath of Allah, etc. So if somebody comes and puts a threat to you, and he has the muscle to execute the threat, then it is permissible for you at that time to verbally utter that statement of kufr, but in your heart you know that you believe in Allah. So the question then is, academically, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, narrating this incident of these people to Yamliha or Tamliha, that don't let them compel you into disbelief because then you won't be successful. Whereas Islam allows the utterance of a statement of disbelief to rescue your life, provided it's organ threatening or life threatening. Organ threatening or life threatening, and the person has the muscle to execute the threat. Allah has given the permissibility. So how is it that upon this, وَلَن تُفْلِحُ إِذَنْ أَبَدًا has been, conveyed? And the scholars give two beautiful explanations. وَلَن تُفْلِحُ إِذَنْ أَبَدًا, you will not be successful, will refer to, you will not attain the absolute and the highest level of success. Though you will still be successful, because you had uttered that statement of kufr reluctantly and not willingly. So this then goes into the discussion of rukhsat and azimat. Rukhsat means concession, while azimat means the ideal. So when you are in that position and somebody threatens you, it is permissible to utter the word of kufr. It is permissible, but it is ideal to hold on to your faith. And that is azimat, and say, no, I will not utter it. And that is exactly what Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, that they threatened him, and he said, I will not utter the statement of kufr, and he passed away. So walan tuflihu would refer to that you will fall short in attaining the highest ideal of success. Or the other explanation could be that they will compel you into kufr. You might reluctantly utter it momentarily, but gradually the devil will then make tazyeen of kufr. So for the moment, you say, okay, listen, they put me under pressure, so let me just say the word of kufr, and then you utter it to appease them. But after a period of time, the devil will say, you've said it already, man. Just carry on. So it might become then a niche for devilish indoctrination. I hope you understand in the depth of the Quran, my brother and my sister. And really what I'm giving you is mulakhasul aqwal. I'm giving you a summarized version. I'm giving you a very simplified version. So the focus, what's the takeaway lesson today? You got up after so long, you're concerned about your iman, you're concerned about halal. Your last advice and counsel, I mean, if I'm hungry and I'm like, listen, go now and go quick, and bring the food hot, and make sure it's tasty, and I need it to be juicy, and I need it to be sumptuous, and scrumptious, and tantalizing, and finger-licking, and make sure, you know what, I need these, you need to make sure the burger is garnished like this, and the fries are crispy like this here, and the soft drink is chill. That's my concern. You know what, I might make an odd comment that it must be halal, and that's about it. Here the focus is on halal. And the focus is, whatever happens, let it not be that they influence you to kufr, because then there's no success for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that concern of iman. In a world where the attack on iman is so strong, the onslaught against iman is so strong. Nay, there's an onslaught against religion, leave alone iman. There's an onslaught against religion in any form, shape or size. How often people mock at the galaxy of prophets. I often say, and I'll leave you with this thought and food for thought. We are a nation more concerned about prophet, as in P-R-O-F-I-T. P-R-O-F-I-T than P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Our concern is more prophet, returns, revenue, then profits, the galaxy of Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. May Allah protect our iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave this world with iman. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.